No, it's amazing. The weak Republicans, they're pathetic Republicans, and that's what happens. If this happened to the Democrats, there'd be hell all over the country going on. There'd be hell all over the country. But just remember this, you're stronger, you're smarter, you've got more going than anybody, and they try and demean everybody having to do with us, and you're the real people. You're the people that built this nation. You're not the people that tore down our nation. The weak Republicans, and that's it. I really believe it. I think I'm going to use the term, the weak Republicans. You got a lot of them, and you got a lot of great ones, but you got a lot of weak ones. They've turned a blind eye, even as Democrats enacted policies that chipped away our jobs, weakened our military, threw open our borders, and put America last. Did you see the other day where Joe Biden said, I want to get rid of the America First policy? What's that all about? Get rid of? How do you say, I want to get rid of America First? Even if you're going to do it, don't talk about it, right? Unbelievable what we have to go through. What we have to go through, and you have to get your people to fight. And if they don't fight, we have to primary the hell out of the ones that don't fight. You primary them. We're gonna let you know who they are. I could already tell you, frankly. But this year, using the pretext of the China virus and the scam of mail-in ballots, Democrats attempted the most brazen and outrageous election theft. And there's never been anything like this. It's a pure theft in American history. Everybody knows it. That election, our election, was over at 10 o'clock in the evening. We're leading Pennsylvania, Michigan, Georgia, by hundreds of thousands of votes. And then late in the evening or early in the morning, boom, these explosions of bullshit. And all of a sudden, it started to happen. Don't forget when Romney got beat. Romney, did you see his? I wonder if he enjoyed his flight in last night. But when Romney got beaten, you know, he stands up like you're more typical. Well, I'd like to congratulate the victor. The victor. Who was the victor, Mitt? I'd like to congratulate. They don't go and look at the facts. Now, I don't know. He got slaughtered, probably. Maybe it was okay. Maybe it was, that's what happened. But we look at the facts. And our election was so corrupt that in the history of this country, we've never seen anything like it. You can go all the way back. You know, America is blessed with elections all over the world. They talk about our elections. You know what the world says about us now? They say we don't have free and fair elections. And you know what else? We don't have a free and fair press. Our media is not free. It's not fair. It suppresses thought. It suppresses speech. And it's become the enemy of the people. It's become the enemy of the people. It's the biggest problem we have in this country. No third world countries would even attempt to do what we caught them doing. And you'll hear about that in just a few minutes. Republicans are constantly fighting like a boxer with his hands tied behind his back. It's like a boxer. And we want to be so nice. We want to be so respectful of everybody, including bad people. And we're going to have to fight much harder. And Mike Pence is going to have to come through for us. And if he doesn't, that will be a sad day for our country. Because you're sworn to uphold our Constitution. Now it is up to Congress to confront this egregious assault on our democracy. And after this, we're going to walk down, and I'll be there with you. We're going to walk down, anyone you want, but I think right here, we're going to walk down to the Capitol. And we're going to cheer on our brave senators and congressmen and women. And we're probably not going to be cheering so much for some of them. Because you'll never take back our country with weakness. You have to show strength and you have to be strong. We have come to demand that Congress do the right thing and only count the electors who have been lawfully slated. I know that everyone here will soon be marching over to the Capitol building to peacefully and patriotically make your voices heard. Today we will see whether Republicans stand strong for integrity of our elections, but whether or not they stand strong for our country.
David Domke, on this January 7th, 2021, one day after a day that will live in infamy, as many have said, a day where we've had the most deaths from, from the COVID-19 virus in America. This is what we're dealing with.
Steve, good morning. The level of anger that I have towards Donald Trump and towards the Republicans that have enabled him cannot be fully captured today. I am livid. I am ready desiring to have consequences in the most appropriate way possible for them. As you know, we are in the middle of the worst pandemic that this country, this world perhaps, not probably just this country, has ever seen. And we have a president that has cared not one bit about that for months and months and months. He's obsessed with falsehoods about his election. He has mobilized millions of supporters to endanger, to threaten, to fight against elections all over this country. Elections that were done remarkably well in the middle of this pandemic, fairly, accurately, thoroughly by patriots, by American patriots who do what we do in this country. We have elections when they're scheduled. And this president has done everything to spit in their face and to torpedo this country. Yesterday in the Capitol, we saw the outcome, a manifestation, not the only one, but a manifestation of what that set of traitorous acts by a president can lead to. And certainly we've never seen this in our lifetimes, and may we never see it again. A storming of the United States Capitol, the seat of all legitimacy in this country, encouraged by the president, mobilized by the president. I want to point to words yesterday from Republican leaders in this country. Liz Cheney, a minority leader in the U.S. House, saying that this president encouraged them, he incited them, he mobilized them, he lit the flame. Mitt Romney saying that this president is solely responsible for that. I don't think he's solely responsible, but he is certainly primarily responsible. This is unacceptable, beyond unacceptable, and it must be dealt with. I want to encourage everybody who's hearing this podcast to listen to one that Charles did last night. I think Charles is going to join us this morning, but last night he offered his own final thoughts, which are deeply meaningful. Last night, talking about the outrageous differential treatment of white protesters that were there yesterday versus anybody of color who would protest for their rights, whether it's in the Black Lives Matter protests or just generally in this country. The outrageous differential treatment And also the anger and the hurt that comes with seeing our country under the kind of siege that Donald Trump thinks he's referencing at the end, but is actually encouraged and motivated by him. We must never be here again, and we must make sure that this president does not do more damage to us as a country in the next 13 days. So I stand angry, livid, and determined this morning.
Yeah, it'll be real interesting to hear, watch the next steps, because I'm, you know, you've been watching it, me too, right? Invoke Amendment 25. Mike Pence could stand up with the leaders of the Congress, stand up with the members of the appointed members of his cabinet, and say that this president is not fit to do the duties of his office, to fulfill the duties of his office, which is clear. He's not in any way, shape, or form. He is completely unable to perform the duties of his office and get rid of him. He had plenty of supporters. He has plenty of supporters who thought that this was the greatest thing, because they all are living in the bubble of the idea that what he's saying is literally true. The election was stolen. Our democracy has been stolen from them, because, you know, it's easy to get the grievance culture to believe that they are being aggrieved. And so it's not over by any means. If they don't act, they're going to try to paper it over for the next 2 weeks. There'll be a peaceful transition of power on the 20th. You know, his first tepid statement of that, to that effect, should not be enough. I mean, it'll be like, having a really sick person locked in his room, maybe, and not able to do anything. I think that's sort of their idea for the next 14 days, kind of like with Woodrow Wilson and how Woodrow Wilson's wife and his advisors basically ran the country after his illness. But
Right. Now, the thing is with Wilson, or with any incapacitated person, like mentally or physically incapacitated person, they have their major problems and challenges that we need to address if we're trying to get through a period of time where they are in leadership. But they're not, in those examples, not trying to destroy the country for their own purposes, right? And this president is. For his own purposes, for his own ego. I want to just kind of lay a couple markers here so we don't lose sight of where we are in the big picture. In the big picture, we have won 2 Senate seats in Georgia, and the Democrats will have control of the Senate, thank God, here shortly. So that has not changed, and we, as an organization, Common Power, will come together this Friday at 5 p.m. Pacific time to celebrate that and to make sense of this moment. But we will not lose sight of that work. That is celebratory work. In fact, it's so dang important right now. Second, we have 13 days left in this presidency. The U.S. Senate and House did vote last night early this morning to certify the Electoral College votes of the president and vice president elects. That's happening. In those votes, 121 House Republicans voted against certifying the Arizona votes. 138 House Republicans voted against certifying the Pennsylvania votes. 7 Senate Republicans voted, I believe, in both cases against certifying the votes.
6 in one, 7 in the other.
Okay. The reality is that we are going to have a new president, vice president. So we will not lose focus on that. So what do we do at this moment? Well, Charles's podcast last night, I think, captures fundamentally everything that I would say. And I certainly don't feel like I want to cover that ground here. He's a co-pilot. He and I in leading this organization, and we are on the same page in the long run in terms of our anger and determination. We are here. We will be here together. What about the short term? I want to focus the rest of this particular episode on right now. Right now. So right now, I'm actually in California this morning. I am in the midst of driving south to the Los Angeles area with my oldest son, who is going to go off to live. He's put his life on hold for a long time because of COVID. And, you know, at a certain point, you got to take all your protocols, do all your best stuff. You got to do your quarantining. You find a safe place to live, people you can trust, and you got to go. And I I respect everything that he's done to hold on to get to this place. So we are halfway there to LA, and we stayed last night in a hotel here, and I'm getting up this morning, going to drive the rest of the way. So right now, I'm in the midst of what all of us are, life, in the midst of life. And in the midst of life, you make decisions about major things as you go. This is what you do. And so my position on where we're at for us as a country is people should express whatever opinion they want to think about whether we pursue impeachment or pursue the 25th Amendment. The 25th Amendment provides a mechanism, an approach for how you take over power of the presidency if a president is deemed incapacitated. The idea, of course, behind that is that there'd be health incapacitations, but it leaves open the possibilities of any unable to dispense the activities of the office reasons. And certainly the unhinged mental status of this president since the election has evidence of his inability to operate the presidency. So people can articulate whatever they want, and I'm not going to in any way have any judgment on whether impeachment or the 25th, one is better than the other. In my particular take on this, I do think that the 25th Amendment is the way to go, and I do think it should be brought into the Congress as a point of vigorous debate, and that the Vice President of the United States should be called to offer his opinions on this right now. And the 25th Amendment only gets invoked by the Vice President. It cannot be started by the Congress. They can request it, but it cannot be initiated. It can only be started by the Vice President, who then has to go to the cabinet members and get a majority vote among them, and then they can bring it to the Congress. Will they do that? Probably hell no. But the reality is I don't care if they want to or if they think they should. I want this discussion to be done now. I want every single member of the Congress to have some kind of vote on whether or not this man should be president of the United States today for the next 13 days. This is not about him. It's about us. You know, what could he do in the next 13 days? God, the list of damage is endless. Potential damage from wars and bombings to executions to calling out the military to executive orders to pardons. I want us now to move forward in a way that says we're a serious, serious country that does not brook this. We do not take this. We do not stand for this. We stood for it. And all of you Republicans who have enabled this, you need to answer for this, and you will for the next many years. But I want us to move on this right now in this country. And I think that I would love to see the U.S. House just move on this, because I don't expect the Senate to have a series of hearings and discussions right now where this discussion must be had.
Now, the coup plotters in Congress have a stain on their names, and that has to be listed, cleared, at clearly advertised every time. You know, the 100 plus in the House and the 12 plus plus in the Senate. The people that withdrew don't get to, you know, claim a withdrawal at the end of the, they don't get to lose the game and then say, oh, I wasn't part of that team. They, and that includes in Washington State, Kathy McMorris Rodgers, who came out and at the last minute and said, I will not support Donald Trump and his effort. But she did. She was leadership. She enabled it the last 4 years, and she should be held responsible as well. And I hope that those of us who can work against it and those of us who are in Washington State in her district understand that. I am, again, of course, these people live in their own world. And, you know, quick polls, not always valid, but showing that most of his supporters supported this insurrection. They supported this action for whatever delusional reasons. They supported it. And that has to be held to account, too.
All right. A YouGov poll, a real quick snapshot. This is only a moment in time, but it's the first one done yesterday, found that half of Republicans in the country supported the storming of the Capitol. They did. And that's because the Republican Party's a cult. They're focused around this president. And I don't care what the president says at this time. I don't care what the vice president says. I don't care what Mitch McConnell says. The reality is I want a top level prosecution of these folks. I want a top level prosecution of the people who went onto the Capitol grounds and broke in and endangered our national leadership. Sure, we can all be critical of national leaders in a variety of ways, but they are our nation's leaders. And we respect that position, okay? I want prosecution of those folks who damaged and broke into the Senate, broke into the parliamentarian's office, endangered people there, all right? This is what we do if we're a serious country. So I'm moving forward. We're going to move forward. We are not going to be paralyzed by fear or by uncertainty. I want a discussion on the 25th Amendment. If you want to push the impeachment, go for it, people. But that's going to require some changes in rules to be able to move quickly. And that just gets bogged down to the bureaucracy of the Congress. The 25th Amendment discussion can be had today in the U.S. House. All right. Now, we as an organization, we as people, we can pay attention. We should be paying attention to this. We should be livid. We should be angry. We should be hurt. And we should be completely determined that this will not stand as a long-term leadership viewpoint in this country. It will not stand. We will fight for our democracy, for a just and inclusive democracy. We will fight against the voter suppression that's coming in Georgia, in Arizona, the greater suppression that's coming. We know the vision is so clear. This is all starkly clear to us. And we will do it in a legal way. We will do it in an organized way. We will do it in a respectful and strong way. That's what we have built in this organization. That is what we must do in this country. We will follow those folks who have gone before us, who have faced loss after loss, death after death, killing after killing, intimidation after intimidation, but still, they said, we stand, we show up again tomorrow. So today, let us be celebratory of what we've done in Georgia or what we've contributed to in Georgia, knowing that the work is so far to go and we're making progress. And it's very clear what we are standing and fighting against. So Steve, let's get to work again. And what I mean by let's get to work is let's, right now, cure ballots in Georgia, for those of you that are doing that. And for the rest of us, let us, at this time, recharge, catch some energy, and give us some time to kind of respect and honor where this country should go as we see our Democratic leadership take the right positions and the right stands, and as some Republicans have their come to Jesus moment, all right? We don't have an action to mobilize for at this second. That might change, but for right now, we'll just see you all Friday. And in the meantime, just be angry, be determined, but let's not be for a moment deterred or paralyzed. All right, let's go.